and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sing that chorus again. Like to have that newness restored. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore. Good to be in church this morning. Sure enjoyed the service last night, Brother Andrew. From each service you take several things from it, but one thing usually really stands out. I loved what he talked about last night about those yokes not being broken, but destroyed. Because I know we've all laid a yoke down and found ourselves picking it back up in the future. So I loved that last night, that we can have our yokes destroyed. I'm thankful for that. Just ask the Lord to be with us in the service again this morning. I know Brother Andrew's studied. I'm thankful for the gift that the young man's got. And he studied. He's back there. He's ready to go. And let's just do our part and create an atmosphere for him just to walk right into this morning. I'm going to ask Brother West if he'll come pray over these requests. My husband, Micah Swafford, this is from Sister Michelle Swafford, started a new job for long distance truck driving along with his good friend David Alton. Please pray that God keeps them safe. Also, her sister, Raquel Luna, is expecting her second child. Pray that she can keep her diabetes under control or that it completely would go away. Also, May Manuel for health problems, Marjorie Odell, Debbie Milam, and also for Gary Manuel, his health would be restored. Just remember that. Pray for Brother Fred Green. He needs healing. Also, he's having some trouble with his vehicle. Just ask the Lord help him there. Brother J.D. and Sister Barbara Whitson, still not feeling well. Pray for my son James and grandson Patrick. Special unspoken request. God knows all about it. That's from Brother Bobby Hayton. Pray for Betty Cockrell. She's having tests and MRI. Pray that all will be well. She's the mother of Sister Jackie Williams. Also remember Brother Frank, Sister Jackie in prayer. They're both sick. Please remember Sister Maribel Moore Marrero from New Jersey. She needs a job and is trying to bring her mother to the United States from Puerto Rico. Sister Edna Carnes from Georgia had a heart attack, and the family asked to remember her in prayers. Pray for Sister Barbara Gravely from West Virginia. Doctors have found a lump in her breast, so let's ask the Lord to be with her. Please pray for Brother Gary Hall, still having chest pains. He had to have two stents placed in his heart. He's already had four stents placed. Remember him. Brother Charlie Therese had sent a note just wanting to tell everyone hello. So we'll just remember Brother Charlie and his family while they're away. Let's see what this request is. Remember Betty Waller in prayer. She's been in a lot of pain. After her knee surgery, doctor said the knee was much worse than the first one. So let's remember her. And then a couple of testimonies. Just want to say thanks to my wonderful church family for all the cards, food, and calls, but most of all for your prayers during my recent surgery. I'm so thankful that I'm able to be back in church. God bless you all. That's from Sister Rachel Hamblin. So we're happy the Lord's kept her through that. She's able to be with us this morning. And then also another testimony and a thanks here to my dear church family. I want to thank you all for the many prayers, kind words, visits, and food you've given me through this trial. I could never express fully how much every card visit, phone call, and prayer has lifted my spirits and given me courage. Some of you contributed towards my medical expenses as well. I pray the Lord repays you tenfold for your kindness. Most of all, I want to thank the Lord for being with me every second. And if there is no cancer in my lymph nodes, no invasive cancer, all was contained, this means I will not have to have any cancer treatments and only two more surgeries. It's from Sister Sherry Wiggins, and she's also back in the service this morning. So we're thankful for that. Let's stand this morning for the rest.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together again, Lord. Lord, we don't ever want to take for granted how precious these times are where we can gather together, Lord, where we can come together and hear your word, where you can speak to us freely, Lord, through your man as he comes out. We ask you to bless Brother Andrew, Lord, and bless our ears to hear it, Lord. Help us to hear it. Open our ears and our eyes to your word, Lord. We don't ever want to take for granted, Lord. We don't ever want to take it lightly. We don't ever want to forget our place. We don't ever want to give you less than you deserve, Lord. We know sometimes we might make that mistake. We might fall and do that, Lord. But, Lord, forgive us and help us to grow closer to you. Bend our will, Lord, and shape us, Lord. Make us what you want us to be. Tell us what you want us to hear, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Father. We've got to have those words of life to change, Lord, and for you to come and bring us to be with you, Lord. We need this more than anything now, Lord, in this dark age. Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for the answered prayers, for the comfort you've brought to those who've suffered loss, Lord, for those who have become well because of the prayers, Lord. We know that prayer is real. We know that we have the right, Lord, that you've given us, that you fought for to give us, Lord, to come to you and to pray and to lift people up, Lord, so that they might be well, so that they might get that down payment, Lord, for the resurrection. Lord, we believe this with all of our hearts. There is nothing that stands between us and you, Lord, when we place the faith that you gave us on these prayer requests. Lord, we stand here today as your body, and we come to you, Lord, as the bride of Christ, asking you, not begging, Lord, because we know that you love and are concerned more for every one of these than we can even as an individual muster. But Father, we know that you're mindful of each and everything that is laid here before you today, Lord. And we know that we can trust you because of your great love for us. The way that you speak to us and you come to us and you're mindful, Lord, of our needs. The way that each and every individual in this place today, Lord, their heart can be spoken to if they come in here believing, Lord, that they're hearing from you, that they're hearing the words of God from the throne, from the very throne of heaven, that you speak to us, Lord, through this supernatural manifestation, through the gifts of God as they stand behind this pulpit. Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us to come and worship, for the clear weather so that we could be here and gather together today, Lord. We feel ourselves growing weary, Lord, when the services are canceled. We don't want them to be canceled. We want to come together, Lord. It helps us, it strengthens us, Lord, to be together with the rest of the body. But Lord, we know that you've got all things in control, and we're trusting you, Father, and we want to give you everything you deserve this morning, Lord. Help us to have a mind and a heart that is longing to praise you and longing to give you offerings of all the gifts that you've given to the body, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated this morning. Thank you, Brother Wes.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, he'll meet you there anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, he's on time. On time, any place, anywhere. I know a man who can beat 5,000 any time, any place, anywhere. Just 5 loaves and 2 little fish any time, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, I'll meet you there any time, any place, anywhere.
Up the King's Highway. The brothers would like to come and lift the tithes and offering this morning.
Well, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter walking up the King's Highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going. Walking up the King's Highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. King's Highway. dark while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. There'll be a blessing you'll be possessing if you're walking up the King's highway. Well, it's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure and holy.
I want to know how it feels. I think it's G. I want to get to the end of that highway, and then I want to know how it feels to walk on streets of gold. Amen. Let's sing that together. I want to know how it feels. Let's see. What's that first? Let's just sing the chorus.
Well, I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven. About going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compared to what was waiting up there. Now one day we would finally be free. But I've never seen it, but I keep on believing it's a place like that I've never known. I'll keep my eyes on the sky, my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how to feel.
Sometimes I get weary.
Oh, sometimes I get weary from this life that I'm living. It seems a piece is something I'll never find. I've tried to lie to my Lord when all that I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. Oh, but I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. Saints of old, I want to know what it's like
think everybody showed up to have church this morning. I appreciate everybody's participation. I thank the Lord Jesus for coming and making His presence felt here. And it's just good to be in church. Amen. Let's sing My Hope is in the Lord as Brother Andrew comes to bring the word to us this morning. Well, my hope is in the Lord from this time on.
Within the presence of the Lord, through the wisdom of the ages lie, through the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, my only source of life.
The best place we can put it. Amen. Is in the hands of the Lord. Amen. If it's in our hands, it will fail. We'll make mistakes, but He never fails. Amen. His grace has never failed us one time. Amen. Amen. Paul said that after the abundance of the revelation and he come down, he said, but yet it's like a blow after a blow. It's always something. But the Lord spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My, that's the greatest thing He could say to us today is, whatever you're going through, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you love Him this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts together before we look into His Word. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, and we thank You, Father, for Your Spirit that we feel among us here today, Lord. Father, we've, Lord, gathered ourselves together in Your house today, Lord, and Father, we just thank You, Lord, for our house of refuge, Lord. That, Lord, when the winds of the world and Laodicea beats down upon us, O God, we have a place that we can find rest, Lord. We have a place we can find strength from, God. And, Lord, we know that before we arrived here today, Lord, there was no God in this building, Lord, because You dwell in the hearts of Your children, Lord. And, Lord, we don't worry this morning about whether You're here or not, because if we brought You with us, Lord, we ought to know You're here, Lord. Amen. And God, we just ask that Your Spirit would come, Lord, in the opening of the Word this morning, Lord, that, Father, something could be said, Lord, that would be a blessing and a help to somebody's life, O God. Lord, I've studied and looked at these things, Lord, but unless you come, Father, and anoint us to speak, Lord, and not only anoint me to speak, but anoint the people to pull and receive, Lord, we've gathered in vain. But Lord, we rest upon your promise this morning, God, knowing you've never failed us one service, O Lord. You've never passed us by one time, God. You've always been there for us, and for that, we want to say thank you this morning, God. We want to just say thank you for this message, Lord, that we're not wandering around this morning, God, and blindly out of sea trying to find our way, but Lord, you have opened our eyes through your word, and we want to say thank you for it, God. God, we just ask you come this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray you just bless this church, Father. Bless Brother Donnie, God, and Sister Carol, Lord, is there a way, Father. Bless the meetings there in Arizona today, God, we pray. Have your way among us in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. If you have your Bibles, we'll go to the book of Galatians chapter 1. Verse 10, I want to say again, I appreciate Brother Donnie for inviting us to be here this weekend, and trust something was said last night to be a blessing and a help to you, an encouragement. I just certainly enjoyed the presence of the Lord, you know. There's nothing like it when He comes by. Amen. When He comes by, things happen. When He comes by, hearts are changed, lives are touched. Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful that He passed by our way. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul says here, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached of me is not after man." And I can imagine Brother Branham could tell us, "The message I preached is not after me, it's after the Word. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Do you believe that this morning? May God add the blessing to the reading of His Word as you're seated. Thank you, brother. Amen. You love the Lord this morning. Amen. By the help of the Lord, I want to speak to you this morning on identified by revelation. Identified by revelation. And Brother Branham would tell us, "And I will restore, saith the Lord." He says, the whole church, the living God, is based upon spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said the whole church is of the living God is based upon spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, in our scripture this morning, we hear what Paul says. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" He's asking the people, amen, what are you wanting to see? Amen. Are you here to see a man, or are you here to see Christ this morning? Are you here to hear the words of some philosopher, some scholar, or are we here to hear words of eternal life this morning? So Paul was not up saying, and he said, I do not come to you in the niceness of words, but I come in the power of the resurrection. And I believe this morning that this message didn't come under an anointing of some seminary or under the anointing of some man's idea, but I believe this message came in the power of the resurrection of the living God. Amen. I believe that the same God that healed back when Brother Branham walked on this earth is the same God that's healing right here this morning. Amen. The same God that opened blinded eyes then is the same God that's opened them this morning. The same God that when a man sat in the meeting that day and he died right there in the meeting, and the power of God spoke to the prophet and said, "Be quiet, be still," and he said, "I give you your life back." I believe that same God is right among us this morning, and he's not just here just to show up and just to sit in some corner this morning, but I believe he's come to be identified in the revelation of his word by somebody that'll stand and say, "God, I'm not ashamed to be identified with this message of the hour. I'm not ashamed to stand and say I still believe in the power of his resurrection." Amen. He says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So Paul was not your social gospel preacher. Come on, somebody. Paul was not your preacher that would get up and tell you how good you are and how wonderful you are and how everybody ought to love everybody and don't ever preach against sin. Paul wasn't a social gospel preacher. He was an anointed man of God that was preaching by the unction of the pillar of fire. I can imagine Paul was probably hated for what he stood for, Brother Terry. I can imagine people didn't want him around, but yet he said, "I'm here to tell you, I've not come this morning to gain your favor. I've not come this morning to get you to like me, but I have come to preach something of eternal value. I have come and I certify the gospel that I'm preaching is not of man, but it's of Jesus Christ." Amen. He says, "For I neither received it of man," because had he received it of a man, some man could take it away from him. Amen. Had he received it at some seminary could teach it away from him, but he received it based upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham would tell us in the Feast of the Trumpets, he would say the Holy Spirit has been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years. Can you imagine that, brother, sister, that the Holy Spirit of God had been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years, but it is to be loosed in the evening time. Oh, hallelujah. It is to be loosed in the evening time. And may I say this morning that the Holy Ghost can no longer be bound. The Holy Ghost can no longer be held back. The evening time has come. The resurrection time has come. Amen. The denominational barriers have got to be torn down. And the denominational barriers around the message have got to be torn down. Preach, somebody. Amen. The denominational barriers that hold back a move of God, that hold back the floodgates of revelation, the Holy Ghost will tear them everyone down. Amen. He says, but it is to be loosed in the evening time by the evening time message. Amen. It's not to be loosed by some internet website. It's not to be loosed by Google. It's to be loosed by the evening time message. It's to be loosed by the unction of the Holy Ghost. He said the Holy Spirit back in the church again. My, wouldn't that be something wonderful? The Holy Ghost back in the church again. He said Christ himself revealed in human flesh in the evening time. He said it. He promised it. And there ain't enough devils out of all hell that can bind it. Oh, hallelujah. There ain't enough devils in all hell that can bind the Spirit of God. There's not enough devils in all hell that can bind the revelation of this message. You realize we're living in a time of an identity crisis. When people don't know who they are anymore. They don't know where they come from anymore. They don't know where they belong anymore. They're just wandering around about in life. Amen. I believe I heard Brother Branham say one time, he said a man come by the house the other day and he knocked on the door and he said, sir, I'm hungry. And Brother Branham said, well, I'll give you something to eat. And I believe Brother Branham said, I fixed him a sandwich or give him a little meal or something. And he said, I asked him, I said, where'd you come from? He said, I don't know. He said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. He said, where do you live? He said, I don't know. He said, what a terrible shape that would be to just be wandering through life. Oh, brother, sister, this morning, what a terrible thing it would be to have the opening of the Word among us, to have the revelation of Jesus Christ among us, and still be wandering around bound. Paul said, I received this revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul here refers to the direct interview. I like that. The direct interview which he had with Jesus Christ. When he first called to preach the gospel as he's recorded in Acts 9 and 3. Now Brother Branham says in the revelation of Jesus Christ, he says the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Wow. So it can never be overemphasized, the real true revelation of this word. He says revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. He said, now I'm not talking about this book of Revelation in you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Can we say amen to that this morning? That revelation is important to our hearts. That understanding the Word of God is important to our lives. He said, oh, how we need revelation by the Spirit. He didn't say we needed revelation by a man. He didn't say we need revelation by some church system. We need revelation by the Holy Ghost of God. He said we don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new translation. Some are very good. And I'm not against them, he said. But we need revelation of the Spirit. We need something to strike our heart that'll cause our life to line up with the Word. He said, we don't need a new Bible. We just need a revelation of the one we got. Brother Brandon told the story that time about that woman. Said they went down there and said that they did a welfare check on her. And said she was sitting there. Said she hadn't eaten in days. Didn't have no money. And they looked at her and said, ma'am, said, don't you have any family? Don't you have any children? She said, yeah, I do. But said he moved away to India, I believe it was.
Brother Branham said that the welfare looked at her and said, well, she said, do you ever hear from him? She said, oh yeah. Said, he sends me sermons all the time. Catch up with me. Amen. He sends me sermons all the time. He sends me nice little postcards all the time. And he said, well, let me take a look at them. And she said, I take them and I file them in my Bible. I file them in my Bible. And he said, well, let me look at them. And he began to look at them. And he said, ma'am, do you not realize what you've got? You've got postcards. They're not just nice pictures, but they are money orders. Oh, hallelujah. But they are money orders. How long are we going to sit and look at the revelation of the seven seals? How long are we going to look at the church ages? How long are we going to look at Christ revealed in His Word and never realize what it is? It's the power. It's a rapturing message that's going to change our body. In this church age, God requires identification. We must be identified with something. We've heard it said before, you'll either stand for something or fall for anything. Woo! You'll either stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And a lot of people are falling because they never stood for anything. They never took a stand for anything. It was just always wishy-washy. One day it was up, one day it was down. I don't know if I believe this message or what. Well, I've always had questions in the back of my mind. Oh, brother, sister, wishy-washy. They're built upon education. But the bride of Jesus Christ, she is built upon the revelation, the unfailing, the unmerited favor of Almighty God that's been released in this hour. Hallelujah. The church is built up on education. And that's why they can't move unless they got a new doctrine. Woo! They can't move unless some man rises up with seven steps on how to do this. They can't move because they're relying upon education. And let me tell you something. Education will leave them sitting when a rapture sets in. But the bride that's got the revelation, when the rapture sets in, it'll lift her up out of this world. Hallelujah. St. Matthew 16:13. And when Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But they didn't answer the question that He was asking. He didn't want to know what the people out there thought He was. Brother Terry, He wanted to know who they thought He was. He said unto them, but who say ye that I am? It's time to quit just running around saying, well, He's a prophet. It's a message. He wants to know, are you ready to be identified with this thing? Are you really ready to take a stand for this message? Because the time has come that borderline believers has got to stop. The time has come that riding the fence has got to stop. The time has come. You'll either stand. Brother Branham said, He'll either be in your heart or He'll be on your hands. And a lot of people, I'm afraid, have just got Him on their hands. But there is a bride in this hour that has been predestinated by Almighty God. And she's got it more than just on her hands. She's got it more than just on her lips. But she's got it in her heart. Hallelujah. And Simon Peter answered, of all people to answer, can you imagine they were sitting there hearing Jesus speak to them? Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Imagine they sit there. I'm not saying anything. Are you going to say something? Wonder who's going to say something. Can you imagine that feeling? They just all got cringe when Peter said, well, I'll tell you who I think you are. I think you're more than just a picture on the wall. Hallelujah. I think you're more than just a bunch of books in the library. I think you're more than a bunch of tapes on a shelf. I'll tell you who I think you are. I think you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was ready to forsake his personality. He was ready to forsake his reputation and say, I am willing to be identified with this man, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Imagine they thought, wow, that's pretty good.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. For flesh and blood has not opened this up to you. For flesh and blood has not revealed the seven seals. Oh, hallelujah. For flesh and blood has not went beyond the aeons of time and bring the real mystery of predestination. For flesh and blood has not done this, but my Father which is in heaven. Glory to God. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. So Peter identified him, and he identified Peter. He identified who he was, and Jesus said, he knows who I am, so you know what? I know who he is. May I encourage you this morning to know, if you can stand up and say, I know in whom I have believed, Jesus Christ will stand and say, there is my bride. There they are. Hallelujah. But whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, I said to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Are you kidding me? This guy is a God denier. This guy's a cussing preacher. Are you kidding me, Lord? I'm the best one you got around here. And you're going to hand the keys to the kingdom to somebody like that? That's so unstable. Brother Branham said in the church age book, he said the Catholic church says the church is built up on Peter. He said that's not right. He said the church is built up on the revelation. But Peter identified the revelation, and through his identification, he received the keys to the kingdom. Satan don't mind you having the keys as long as you don't use them. Woo! I remember in school, the teacher would give you the keys and say, when playtime was over, go unlock the school, go through the hall, come down the classroom and open the door. And she would give you the key to the whole school. Boy, you'd walk around with that key. Oh, I guess I was the only one never done that. Maybe I was, I don't know. And you'd walk around with that key, and you would show everybody. I mean, you'd get in front of people and show them that you could open the school door. But you know what the thing was? After a while, the key had to go back. Glory to God. The key had to go back to its rightful owner. It didn't belong to you. You were just borrowing the key. And Satan has stole a lot of our keys this morning. Our key to victory. Our key to healing. Our key to overcoming. But let the devil know, you're only borrowing the key. It belongs to me. Amen. Satan don't mind you having the keys as long as you don't use them. And don't you dare use them on him. Brother Ram says, see, it was the revelation that the church was built upon. He said the church is built on revelation. On thus saith the Lord. Romans 9:16. So then it is not of him that willeth, woo, nor of him that runneth. So it's not of him that can start the race, but it's of that lily-legged bride, Brother Jackie, that can finish the race. Amen. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. We're here this morning because God is showing us mercy. We're saved this morning because God showed us mercy. We believe this message this morning because God showed us mercy. We got a predestinated seed this morning because God showed us mercy. Thank you, Lord. And one day we'll take a rapture. You know why? Because God showed us rapturing mercy. Hallelujah. Brother Ram says, and who is this Melchizedek? You remember how we read the scriptures. Not him that willeth of him or him that runneth, but God. And that is his predestination. Might stand true. He could choose. Woo. I'm so glad the choosing was left up to God. And not to a lot of message folks. Because I know some message people that leave a lot of us out. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to church. And that his predestination might stand true, that he could choose before any time. You want me to switch? Okay, I'll keep going. That how people, listen to this. He said that his predestination might stand true, that he could choose before any time. So God didn't pull up our personalities and choose us based off of how good we were. I'm glad he didn't pull up, say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to pull up their financial record and just see how rich they are. Because after all, you know, I want somebody that's rich. Oh, no, we had nothing to offer him. All we could offer him was a broken mess. But he said, Brother Greg, I will take that broken mess and I will make a message out of it. God is sovereign in his choosing. Did you know that? God is sovereign. Even the very word itself, very sovereign. Even the revelation is sovereign. He reveals to whom he will reveal. The very revelation itself is sovereign in God. That's how people pound at things and jump at things and hit at things, not knowing what they're doing. Because they don't have the revelation of it. If people really had a revelation of this message, they wouldn't be pounding at it. They wouldn't be beating at it. They would know it was just going to take them in a rapture. He says that's how people ponder things and jump at things and hit at things, not knowing what they're doing. He said God is sovereign in his works. Can you say amen to that this morning? That God is sovereign in all that he's done for us. God's mercy and grace has brought us here another service. You realize there was people this morning that didn't get up? There was people this morning that didn't wake up. But God passed by our way this morning and woke us up. He is so merciful to every single one of us. I love this in the Smyrnian church age. This is where I just love to read when the devil tries to tell you you're only here because of personalities or because of what God thinks about so and so. Because you realize in Christ there is no respect of persons. Well, here we go. It's going to get quiet. In Christ there is no respect of persons. In Christ there is no big eyes and little U's. In Christ there is no big shots and little shots. In Christ there is only one category. The elected, predestinated seed of Almighty God. Yeah. Brother Benham says in the church age book, he says, watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust. Should I read this next part? Before God was God. It takes a vindicated prophet to get up and make a statement like that.
before God was God. See, God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him. So he was at the time only potentially God. Let's read that again, just in case the devil missed that. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God. God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him. So he was at the time only potentially God, Brother Dan. And he was known only as an eternal spirit. Shake yourself. Wake up. The bride was already in his mind. Oh, brother, sister, this morning, if we really caught the true revelation of that, there wouldn't be carpet on these floors this morning. There wouldn't be chandeliers hanging from the wall. We would see that before God was ever even God, in his eternal thoughts existed me and you. Amen. He says, yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal. Devil, the thoughts that God thinks towards me are eternal thoughts. What about you? Isaiah 5:21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woo! Self-righteousness. Bible says sometimes you have to encourage yourself, so this morning I might have to amen myself. Self-righteousness. St. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In this age we live in, everybody wants the glory for everything. Everybody wants the credit for everything. If they put a screw in the bathroom door, they want a picture hung in the vestibule that says, I fixed the bathroom door on this certain day. They all want the credit for something. They want their name to be seen. But the bride don't rejoice because her picture is in the paper. She don't rejoice because her picture is on a billboard. She rejoices because her name is written in heaven. Rejoice this morning. Your name is written in the palm of his hand. Amen. And if you fix the bathroom door, God bless you. It's all about who sings. How they get off on this. Well, I sang a special. And when I sang, they didn't clap for me as loud as they did when so-and-so sang a special. Woo! Don't get quiet. Let's shout the rest of this thing out. But rejoice this morning, because your name are written in heaven. Do you realize that your name is engraved in the palm of his hand? When he puts your name in the palm of his hand, it can never be washed out. You know, people, they'll stamp your hand when you go somewhere. They'll stamp it and you'll wash your hands a couple times and that stamp will be gone. But God's was stamped with the eternal stamp. That's my bride. That's the ones I love. That's the ones I'm dying for. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Did I read that right? In that hour, Jesus rejoiced. It didn't say relaxed, it said rejoiced. Some people use the house of God to get caught up on sleep. Amen. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. and hast revealed them unto babes. And hast revealed them unto babes, even so. Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I rejoice this morning knowing that my name is written in heaven. I rejoice this morning in knowing that I have been positionally placed in this message by a prophet of God. Look at this word hid. It means concealing. It means keeping a secret. So Christ, for the elect's sake. Brother Terry, Christ, for the elect's sake, hid those things, those mysteries, those opening of the word, for the elect's sake. He didn't open it up to businessmen in that day. Because they'd have made a business out of it. And that's what a lot of people's done to Christianity's made a business out of it. They've made the house of God a business place. The house of God is a house of worship. The house of God is a place that we come in and we worship God and we exalt the name that is above every name. He hid it from the wise. He hid it from the intelligent, the prudent, having understanding, wise, learned. Brother Branham said, you're going to call me a holy roller, so you might as well go ahead and get started. For the preaching, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now you got to realize we're dealing with two classes of people here. Elected and blinded. Elected seed that can see it, and other people sit there and say, I don't know what they're all excited about. This just don't make no sense to me. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You could have two people sitting on the same pew and a preacher go to preach about the cross and the power of the cross and it struck that hard and they'll stand up and praise God and act like a crazy person and the other person will sit there and say, well, I don't know what they're so excited about. I'm hearing the same thing and it ain't doing that for me. You might want to check up. You might want to check up and make sure the channel is open so that the revelation, the identified word of God can flow into your channel. But unto us which are saved. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Glory. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring nothing to the understanding of the prudent. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring nothing to the understanding of the prudent. St. Matthew 13:13. Therefore I speak to them in parables because they see and see not. A parable we know is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Because they see and see not and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. I think if we really caught the revelation of what these scriptures were saying, we'd have a praise in our heart. Which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. So they'll actually go as far to see these things, but actually not perceive them. They'll go as far as to hear these things, but actually not understand them. And actually have the revelation of what it's saying. Because you realize Brother Branham taught us on the wheat and the tares. He said the Bible tells a parable of the wheat and the tares. He said the Bible tells like this, for the sake of time I won't read it, but he said that the good man sowed good seed in his field. And when he was asleep, the enemy come in and sowed bad seed among the same field. Notice the bad seed wasn't sowed on one side of the field and the other on the other side, but they were sowed side by side. They sit right together in church. Come on, somebody. They read the same message. They were sowed side by side. He says that I'd prayed about that for a long time on an understanding of those scriptures. And he said, I was in Mishawaka when I first got around the Pentecostal people. And he said, I sit there and I watch this man get up, Brother Terry, and he spoke in tongues, and he read it, and he prophesied and carried on. And he said, if I ever seen a real, genuine son of God, it was him. He said, but another man got up, and he got to going on and prophesying and carrying on. And if he said, I ever seen a devil, it was him. Did he not say this? He said, what was it? He said, it was the wheat and the tares sowed right among them. And the Bible says that when they come to him, the reapers come and said, Lord, should we rip up the tares and get rid of them? He said, no, don't rip up those tares, lest ye reap up the wheat also. Leave them there. He said, but listen, when the time comes, go out and gather all the tares for burning, but gather the wheat and put it in my barn. Harvest time. So when it comes time for harvest, do you go out and get all the weeds in your field and bind them all together and hang them up in the barn and say, my, what a nice bundle of weeds I've got. Foolishness. There's no grain there. There's no life there. There's no seed there. Oh yeah, they can shout when the wind blows, but there's got to be something there to anchor them. Do you realize why God called you? Because He's not planning on gathering you for the burning. He is planning on gathering you for the heart. You're weak this morning. As a matter of fact, we're whole wheat. As a matter of fact, this morning, we're not just wheat. We are whole wheat this morning. We received the whole word of God. We received the whole understanding of our day. We are that whole wheat bride. I'll just sit there. This is pretty good to me. Look at this word perceive. When I read this morning, I loved it. That word perceives mean have an interview with. To have an interview with. Now, you know when it comes time, you get a job and you go take a job interview. Most people go in there because they're trying to impress. And they'll wear their best clothes and look their best and hopefully smell their best. And they'll walk in there and they'll be all nice and polite. And it amazes me. People that walk around talking like thugs all the time go in there and talk like scholars. Woo! Well, yes, I'm here to interview for this position. Oh, really? Yes. What do you know about a computer? What's a computer? You know they're not thinking that. They're going to say, oh, I know everything about it. I know there's a mouse, a keyboard, and a button. Why? They're trying to impress them. Are you hearing me this morning? They're trying to impress them. They're trying to receive the position by impression. But when God came and had an interview with me, I was in the muck and mire of sin. I had nothing to offer Him. I couldn't say, God, I'll be your best. I said, God, I'm your worst. But He was impressed with me. He said, I'll take a mess and I'll make a message out of it. This morning, we are the message. We are the message this morning. This bride is the message. The message that Jesus saves. The message that Jesus sets free. The message that He still gives the Holy Ghost. To have an interview with. So God looked at me. You know, it always amazed me, people. How God can look past all of our mistakes. And all of our scars. And all of our failures. And see something in there that really catches His attention. Glory. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing,
and their eyes have closed. And that's where we're at, friends. The amener said amen and the nodders nodded. We're there. The preachers get up and preach on the mystery of Jesus anymore, and it's just, well, I've heard that before. Don't he have anything new? Preachers get up and preach on a rapture and Jesus Christ is coming. Get our lives in order. Get right with the Word. Well, I've heard that before, and it don't do nothing for me. Our ears have become dull of hearing these things. And the devil is trying his best to rock us to sleep and say, oh, you're fine. You're fine. Just be religious. Get just a little bit of religion in you. You'll be okay. And he's rocked many people to sleep. You know that God really didn't send a prophet. Rock-a-bye, baby. God didn't send a prophet. He's trying to rock us to sleep. But there's a bride that plays possum. Woo! Glory! There is a bride that when he's rocked us almost to sleep, he's tried to convince us of all these lies. When he's tried to convince us there won't be a rapture, and he's just about got us where we want him, and he comes by that last time and says, you know God didn't send a prophet. We say, God sent a prophet! God sent a message. Hallelujah. God sent something to my soul that's going to rapture me out of here one day. You come by Happy Valley on the wrong day, boy. You come by Happy Valley on the wrong day. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should not be converted. No. And should be converted. This message come to convert us. This message come to change us. This message didn't come to give us a right to sin. Come on, somebody. This message didn't come to give us, well, I'm predestinated. I thank God for predestination. But with a predestinated seed will come a predestinated life. Waxed to make thick. To make fat. Fatten. To make stupid. Now, I didn't say that. That's what the dictionary said. So what is it, friends? The devil is trying his best to say, hey, look here. How many people are still pressing on under this so-called identified revelation? What's this revelation done in your life? To a lot of people, it's put them to sleep. It's just the truth, friends. To a lot of people, it has no effect on them. St. Mark 7, for they stand, for the word of God has no effect because they're teaching doctrines of men as commandments of God. And they have no scripture to back it up. Come on, somebody. They have no scripture to back up a lot of these doctrines of men that people's teaching. And it's rocking people to sleep. But blessed are your eyes. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them. God's mercy blinded it from the eyes of the wise and prudent so that it could be revealed to people that the world says there's no value to them. That it would be revealed to people that the world says, oh, they're just a bunch of people that went off the deep end when they left our church. But God says they didn't go off the deep end. They stepped in the deep waters. But you see, what's the matter with a lot of people is they're afraid to go swimming. Ezekiel 47:3. And when the man had the line in his hand, went forth eastward and measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through. The waters were to the loins.
Afterward, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. But what's the problem is people's afraid to go into the deepness of the message. Now, could you imagine somebody as big as me standing next to a kiddie pool with just 3 or 4 inches of water in it? Ooh, I'm scared to get in. Ooh, I might drown. Ooh, I'm afraid I might get wet. There's not enough water there to drown me. Well, glory. And that's where a lot of people are. Well, I'll take a swim and God sent a prophet, but I'm not going no farther. I'll venture out to see justification, and I might venture out to see sanctification, but I'm not going all the way to get the Holy Ghost, because that's just too deep for me. Because if I get the Holy Ghost, I might start acting like them crazy people up on the front row. Woo! Glory! If I go for a swim in this message, if I get under this message, if I get under the message covenant, I might get happy, and God forbid that. And I think, well, I get out there, you know, in that little kiddie pool. Got your little floaties on. You still got the Baptist wrapped around one arm and the Pentecostal. You still got your Methodist little floaty on. You know, I'm afraid if I go too deep, I might drown in the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to hold on to my comfort. I'm not going to let those things go, because we're comforted. We're comforted when you know as well as I know, when you go out in water, you don't want to go out in the water that you know is 30 feet deep or so without being close by somewhere. But then some people, they get the nerve to get in the kiddie pool and kind of move around a little bit. Oh my, that's, well, I don't know about that. He said I had to quit cutting my hair, but. I don't know about that. He said I couldn't look at that anymore. We're scared because we know those waters are vindicated waters. It's the water of a separation that'll separate sin from our life, that'll separate unbelief from our life. So we just want to get by and tiptoe around the water. Or some get real spiritual and jump in and just doggy paddle around. You going to church tonight? I don't know. Just doggy paddling. Come on, friends. We're here in the hour where Brother Benham said the revelation has been opened. Our eyes have seen the coming of the Lord. He is fixing to descend, Brother Terry. We ought to not just be doggy paddling around. We ought to still be trying to step in. We ought to be swimming, saying, wash this out of my life. Wash that out of my life. Get me ready, God, for a rapture. Brother Ram says in question and answers on the seals, he said, you see each one of those ages only taking a dip into the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Baptism, but the baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism. But at the end of the age, it was always ends up the others. He says, we find there then the messenger sent. So God came down himself. And people saw the moving of God. Pentecost shouted under restoration of the gifts. They spoke in tongues under restoration of the gifts. But there had to come a prophet, Brother Terry, that would gather all those loose ends together, that would bring the revelation and put it right in our lap, Brother West, that we could see who God really is.
that a prophet could stand in 1965 and say, who is this Melchizedek? If there's a message that gets my gears a-cranking, is that message. Who is this Melchizedek? Who is it, friend? Brother Branham said, glory to God, hallelujah. Woo. I got to close here in a minute. Try to find a place to close. And all these scruples and things are to be placed in their places like that. Then the rapture comes for the church. I was going down the road the other day. Listen, to this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Don't do that on the interstate. I'm just giving you a heads up. They bounce around everything else. Boom, 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 and they look at you going, thank you, Lord. The only difference in me and them is I got something to be thankful for. Message to be thankful for. I've got a King of glory that has so encompassed my soul that all I want to do is live for Him. Brother Branham was preaching. He said, here we are today understanding serpent seed. In a few days, if God willing, we'll understand the correctness of marriage and divorce. And all these things that God has opened. Every seal. The mystery since the foundation of the world. And this next statement got me going. And we've been enjoying the presence of His blessings. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the presence of those messages. I'm enjoying the presence of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying the presence of a living God. It's a pulsation on the inside of my heart. I can't sit still and say, well, I'm just happy being a church member. Oh no, it's a pull on the inside of my soul. It's a tug that says, come up higher, come up higher. Are we willing, church, to come up higher and break the sound barrier? People want the blessings of the message without being identified with the message. They do. I'm convinced there's people around this message, you could talk to them all day long and you'd never know they even believed it. Well, I don't want to say anything about Brother Branham because you know why people don't want to say anything about Brother Branham? Because they know the power that's behind that prophet. They know the anointing of God that was upon that man. So they want to back off and say, well, you know, so-and-so said. Let me tell you something. I might have told this here. I don't know, but I just heard it again the other day. And it blessed my heart. You know how much the demons in hell can identify who William Branham was? There was a lady come up in a prayer line here just some time ago in our day. She come up and she was possessed of a demon. And the brothers went to praying for her. And the demon would not come out of her. They kept praying and kept praying. So they went back over and they laid their hands on her again and began to pray. They just kept praying. And the demon spoke out and said, I'm not coming out. And a brother was there and he was just praying. And he looked up and over on the wall or in the corner somewhere was a picture of Brother Branham with the pillar of fire over his head. And they took that picture and they brought it down and he positioned it right in front of that lady's face. And he spoke to that demon and he said, do you know who this is? That demon said, that's William Branham. He cast me out in Oklahoma. The demons recognize who this prophet is. And people sit and say, well, I still 50 years in this thing. Don't know if he's a prophet or not. Where are we, friends? We're at the coming of the Lord. We're at the capstone of the end of the age. We're at the time when sons of God are coming to manifestation. We ought to be rising up above this thing. We ought to be rising to the power of a living God. There ought to be a reaction to the revelation. There ought to be something so strike our heart that our life wants to line up with this. That we're no longer just happy sitting where we sit We're no longer just happy sitting with our arms folded. Well, one day I'll get on fire. We ought to say, God, identify me. Positionally place me in this promise. Put me in this. I'll close with this. Brother Bram said he was preaching on Abraham and Sarah in 1955. He was talking about it. He said, I was up on a lake here about 6 years ago when that revelation come to me. And I'll tell you, they thought they had the Salvation Army out there. He said, oh my, I was the noisiest guy they ever heard in their life. Imagine that. So notice what the revelation done for Brother Branham. It didn't make him stiff-necked. It didn't make him prideful. It didn't puff him up. But the more he seen, the more humiliation you seen come out of his life to humble himself. Brother, sister, where are we at? I thank God I was born and privileged and raised around this message. But I tell you the truth, I've met some message people that could strut sitting down. Amen. Well, I'm in the message. Well, I'm better than all that. But a prophet of God said, I seen this revelation and it made me happy. It made me have more love. It made me have more grace. Oh, friends, I pray this morning, if anything we see in this message, that the more revelation God would send on our heart, the more loving we would become, the more caring we would become, the more humble we would become. We would get rid of all this arrogancy. I promise I'll close with this. As long as the gospel is being preached, these signs shall follow them that believe. And when that becomes a revelation, brother, you're near the kingdom then. I wonder this morning, if Brother Wes, if we're not nearing the kingdom. I wonder this morning if we're not getting closer and getting closer, Brother Terry. On this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Because the man or woman that's ever been in the backside of the desert alone like Moses was and the revelation of God be made manifest to him through the Holy Ghost, there's nothing can shake him. There's nothing can shake him. He's just as sound and solid as he can be. Satan hates revelation. He don't like it at all. It upsets his plans. I know I said I'm going to close. Give me 5 minutes. I would say I'd take you out for dinner, but I can't do that. Satan has a lot of fears. But two of his greatest fears is this bride would get a revelation of who we are and what we possess. But he was talking about Moses there. He said Satan feared that about Moses. What did Satan fear about Moses? Exodus 4:1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. So all he could see was a rod was in his hand. Apparently he hadn't got the revelation yet. Of what he possessed, of what was in his hand. To Moses, that rod was just a stick. But Satan's greatest fear was, and Pharaoh's greatest fear was that Moses might catch the revelation of what was in his hand. And Happy Valley, the devil's greatest fear about us is we might catch a revelation of this message. We might catch a revelation of the grace of God in this hour. And when he smote that rock, that rod was God's judgment rod. It wasn't a rod of Moses. God had Moses in his hand. And what that rod was in Moses' hand is Jesus' name in the church today. Can I get a witness by waving of a hand and saying that rod is the name of Jesus in the power of the hand of the bride in this hour? If those Egyptians could ever got that rod out of his hand, he was powerless. But wherever there was a Moses, there was a Pharaoh. Wherever there was a Pharaoh, there was a Moses. Wherever there was a Goliath, there was a David somewhere. Wherever there is an enemy, there is a member of this bride of Jesus Christ to put their foot on that enemy's head. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe wherever there's a spirit of confusion, there's a spirit of peace that can put the foot on that head? There, wherever there's a spirit of argumentative spirits, there's a power of God that can rise up in the heart of a believer and say amen to the word. You realize we can look in these scriptures and see Brother Branham all day long. What the devil don't want you to see yourself in him. Brother Dan, how long have people stood up and read Revelation 3:14? And under the angel, the Laodicean church age, I write these things. But you see through Revelation, Brother Terry, the bride can stand up and say, and unto William, Mary, and Branham, I write these things. The greatest fear that Satan had for Moses was he would get a revelation of who he was, of what he possessed. He says, now let's take a minute. Here's a man that's got all the military training. He can finish the quote before you even start it. He knows what you're thinking. He's got all the seminary theology in him. He knows the Bible, but he's a coward. He's standing out on the backside of the desert, scared to go down in Egypt. Scared of his own neck, he said. He's afraid to go down, even afraid to visit his loved ones. When God met him up there and he got a revelation from God, when God began to lead him, he'd done the most ridiculous thing that any man could do. Brother Bram said, run over and kissed his father-in-law. That's just what he said. Goodbye. And set his wife on the mule with his youngin' on each hip. Got an old crooked stick in his hand and started down. The whiskers are blowing, leading a little old mule. Hallelujah. We're going down to Egypt to take over. Surely you all don't believe that. Hallelujah. We're going down to Egypt to take over and I can barely walk. We're going down to Egypt to take over. If that wasn't a ridiculous looking sight going down there to millions of trained men. You imagine they'd see Moses, we'll just dramatize it. Imagine they'd see Moses on the other, hear him on the other side of the desert just praying and talking to God. Oh God, I can't do it. God, they'll not listen to me. They'll not hearken unto my voice. They won't listen to what I've got to say. But all of a sudden a revelation come down. Glory to God. All of a sudden a revelation come down and Moses caught the revelation. I can imagine he stood up. Wiped his tears out of his eyes. Got that rod in his hand and said, we're going to Egypt. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Imagine he come walking out. Regine, imagine he come walking out there. People said, oh, this is the day. Huh? Hey, Moses, this is your day, isn't it? Sure is. Your day to check in the nursing home? Where are y'all going on that mule? To get party supplies for your retirement party? No. We're going down to take over Laodicea. We're going down to take back our property. We're going to Egypt to take over. How do you know you are? God is leading me. Something on the inside of me pushing me. And a good thing he done it too. He went out and took over because he was led by the Spirit of God. Is there a Moses among us this morning that says, Lord, I've been on the backside of the desert. The devil's tried to wipe the revelation out of me. But this morning I've caught who I am as we stand to our feet. This ain't the bride's retirement party, Brother West. This is the bride's refiring party. Hallelujah. This is the bride's time to refire under the anointing of this message. Can you say amen? Where are you going, bride? Take back my property. Woo. You mean you ain't retiring? Retiring? That's what the devil is waiting on a lot of people to do. I think I'm just going to retire being a son of God. Because he knows sooner or later you'll catch a revelation. And he's in trouble. He's in big trouble. You know why? Because Brother Branham said when this bride recognizes who she is, the rapture will go. When this bride recognizes who she is, this rapture will go. So if Satan can blind your eyes and say, well, I don't know if you're a son of God or not. Well, you'll just back off when you finally get that revelation in your hand. And you get it off of just your hands and in your heart. There ain't enough devils in Johnson City to stop you. There ain't enough liars on the internet to stop us. You know why? Because we have been predestinated by God to take this land. Are you going to take the land? Are you going to take the land? Moses got a revelation and Moses took his promise. When the devils head back to hell today, the devil's sitting there saying, well, did you get him down? Did you get him discouraged? Did you get him where I wanted him? The devil says, did you drag them in crying? And he comes in crying. No, I didn't do it. What happened? You mean you didn't get them down this morning? I mean, some of them last night thought they got deliverance. But you know, I sent you back up there this morning to try to put it back up on them. You mean you didn't bring them down? I sent you up there for a purpose. Sergeant, they took me down. Glory! They took me down. They saw themselves in the Word. What's the matter? The devils ought to run from here screaming, get out of Happy Valley, Saints Way. They got a revelation this morning of who they are. Can you give him a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. Amen. Devil, get out of our way. Get off of our property. Get off of our joy. Jesus has broke every fetter. The shout of the king is in the camp. Let the worshipers arise this morning. Let the identified bride, Brother Bird, rise to her position and say, Satan, you'll hold me back no more. This is your last day, Satan. This is your last weekend, Satan. This is my time. This is my day, Brother Aaron. This is my season in the sun. Get away, Satan. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Identified by revelation. Identified by revelation. That when the devil sees me, he takes off running. Church, when the devil sees you, he takes off running. Because you've been identified by revelation. I wonder if every head bowed, every eye closed, please, no one looking around. If there would be one person here this morning that would raise your hand and say, Lord, I need some help today, God. I need some strength in my journey, Lord. I'm just so beat down, God. I know who I am in this hour, but the devil's trying his best to take it away from me. Would you pass by my way this morning, God? Would you come by my pew this morning and touch my heart, Lord? Lord, I know you was here last night, God, but Lord, would you come back by my way this morning, God? Would you speak to my heart one more time, Lord? Maybe you're like Moses sitting on the backside of the desert, wondering what you're supposed to do with this message, wondering if it's even for you, wondering if you ought to be believing it. But today is your day that pillar of fire can show up and reveal to you like it did Moses, like it did to Paul. You can take off running out to Egypt and say, Satan, get out of my way. I've seen who I am. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, what a mighty God we serve this morning. Lord, you're still Jehovah Jireh that you provide. You're still our healer, Lord. You're still our banner in the time of trouble, oh God. Lord, we will look into the hills from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from God. Lord, I pray this morning that, Lord, through this message, Lord, this chopped up message on Revelation, God, I just brought it as you put it up on my heart, Lord. But God, I pray through it, somehow somebody could see who they are, Lord. Somebody somehow could see that there's a power that lays in this bride. There is a message in our hands. What are we going to do with it? Are we just going to sit around and look at it? Are we just going to keep having good fellowships talking about this message? Or are we going to become it, Lord? Lord, help us today, dear God, to realize who we are, Father. Help us today, God. Lord, maybe we're past the stages, Lord, as a simple illustration we gave this morning, Lord, of stepping in the kiddie pool, so to speak. Maybe we're past the stages of being needy, but Lord, maybe just go for a swim this morning, Lord. Lord, you know my heart. You know what I mean, God. Maybe just go for a swim in your word and just venture out and see some things rather than just trying to dip our toe in the pool and say, well, I don't want to go too far. I don't want to give my all to God, because if I give my all to God, I might lose friends. If those friends are keeping us from you, Lord, we need to lose them, oh God. Lord, if those habits in our life, God, that we're afraid if we surrender our all to God, that we'll lose those habits. Lord, if they're hindering our walk with you, God, we need to surrender and we need to lose them, oh God. Lord, would you pass by our way one more time today, God? Lord, that somebody would take that rod of this message in their hand. Satan's trying his best to take it out of our hand. It needs to be out of our hand, God. It needs to be in our heart. Because if it's in our hand, we can easily drop it. But if it's buried deep in our heart, there's not enough devils out of all hell that can steal that revelation from us, oh God. Help us today, God, I pray. Help us today, Lord. Pass by our way this morning, God. Minister to the needs of your children here today, God. Strengthen our lives in you today, Lord, we pray. Pass by our way, oh God. Brother Harry, sing something, brother. If you need prayer this morning, come, we'll pray for you.
Father, I see that you were drawing line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. Let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all to you, my Lord. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeem, as the saints of every nation awakening the scene. From our hearts it comes, this anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering to you, my all. And his sons, his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all to you, my Lord. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers. Let the worship of the sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my own. You, my Lord, surrender to the King. Father, I hear it grow louder. Sound of the redeemed, saints of
of every nation awakening to sing. You're my heart's
encounters anthem.
Song.
It's a song.
It's a song. It's a song.
It's a song to the King.
Song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes this anthem. This is our song.
Song to the King, let the worshiper
rise. As the sun God sing, I'm surrendering my all,
my all.
I surrender to
the King.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender my all. I surrender to the King. Let worship
arise.
Let the sons and the daughters sing. Ooh.
like him descends, lose all their guilty sins and sinners. Lose all their guilty sins. The dying thief, he rejoiced just to see that fountain oh, in his head. And there may I find the vow as he was wash them all away. Wash all my unbelief away. And there may I go while as he I can wash all my sin away. Wash all, not just one, not just two, but all my sins away. Wash. Wash all my sins away, and then oh, by as he I can wash all my away. This may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. This may be the last time, I don't know. This may be my last time. This may be my last time, children. This may be my last time. This may be my very last time. Oh, this may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be my last time. This may be the very last time. I don't know.
I love you, Lord.
Let's just worship Him.
And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I do worship you. Oh, my soul. Rejoice, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Now let's exalt the Lord. We exalt Thee. That means worship.
We exalt Thee.
We exalt. That means laying down everything.
Oh, we exalt Thee.
Sister's hand in godly order today, and let's pray for one another. The devil knows there's power in unity. The devil knows there's power when believers come together in one mind and one accord. There's not a demon in hell that can stand before us. You don't know what your brother's going through. I don't know what you're going through. I'm not here to try to be like Brother Random and call out what you're going through, but I am here to take God at His word and believe He can meet every need you have. Let's offer prayer today for one another. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, as my brothers and sisters have their hands laid up on one another, Lord, how Satan would love to bring division, how Satan would love to bring confusion, Lord, but Lord,
we know that the King has been in the camp today. We know that the child of King has rode through among us today, God. I pray that every person, Lord, as they have their hands set up on another, your word said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall do this. They shall do that, Father. That's our promise. That's in our covenant. May we receive it today, God. May every son leave free. May every daughter leave free. May every parent that's worrying about a child, may they see God is on the move for them. May every family that might be busted up, oh God, I pray would be put back together. Lord, every home that might be on the verge of busting up, may it be put back together in the name of Jesus Christ. We exalt thee today, oh God. Brother Harry, will you sing that in Christ alone? Can we sing one more song before we go? Has he been by your way today? Has he passed by your heart today? Are you persuaded that this message is not of men? It's of God. Men couldn't do what's happened here this weekend. Men can't open blinded eyes. Men can't heal people. But the power of God among believers can. Are you willing to be identified with it? Are you willing to bear the reproach? Sing it, Brother Harry.
In Christ alone, yes, sir, will I glory.
Yes, sir.
Though I could pride myself in battles won, well, I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I've overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, hope is Christ alone.
Christ alone today, friends.
In Christ alone will I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed. Only His tender mercy reach beyond my weakness to my need. Now I see no greater honor than just to know Him, to count my gains as losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is in Christ alone. And find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is in Christ alone. I place my trust. Of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are Jehovah Rapha, you are my healer, you are my healer, by your stripes I've been set free.
you. provider. You're my provider. You are more. You are more than enough for me to overcome. Overcome. You're my healer. By your stripes, those blood and bleeding stripes, I am healed. Jehovah Shalom.